over death, his triumph over sin and death. And so before we get into our service today, just a few quick announcements. As you can see, we are celebrating communion today, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And all who trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life are welcome to join us at this table. It's also the Sunday where we place an emphasis on our love offering. That's a fund that goes to help folks in our congregation with special financial needs. And so I encourage you to prayerfully consider contributing to that. And just a quick reminder about communion. Well, two things, really. We here hold the elements and partake of them together. But also, to help the ladies in cleaning up afterward, we ask if you would please move your cups to the end of the row when you're done. Reminder, too, that next week is that Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship fundraiser, our youth group's fundraiser, to help them get to the Worldview Academy camp in California this year. And that's going to be a pizza lunch with salad and dessert. That'll be immediately following the service next week. And there'll be a free will offering out for that. So you can help these kids get to this this incredible camp that's going to be going on this summer. The event, too, is being sponsored by Thrivent Financial, so we give our thanks to them. And just a matter of some notes on the schedule here. No Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship today, being Easter. We encourage you to spend that time with your families. Women's Bible study will be happening Wednesday at 1, with Family Fellowship and Kids Bible Club happening Wednesday at 7. Now, a note about confirmation class, because there may have been a little confusion there. The first years and the second years will both be meeting this Wednesday evening. The first years have one more class to get through before we divide up, and just the second years go. Next Sunday, regular schedule, Sunday school for all ages at 9:30, 10:45 service, and a note about the membership class as well. If you're involved in the membership class, we will not be meeting until May 7th, so the next two Sundays we won't be meeting, but May 7th we will be back together. And one more note about your bulletin this morning, the hymns did not get corrected by the guy who prints the bulletin before he printed them. And so do not follow your bulletin for hymns this morning. Follow the words that come out of my mouth. Are there any other announcements that need to get out there this morning? Excellent. Well, in Acts, we see Barnabas encouraging the church at Antioch to remain true to the Lord after they heard the word of God preached. Well, let us do the same and remain true to the Lord by proclaiming that word ourselves with our call to worship, which this morning comes from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10. You can find that in your bulletin or on the screen here, and we'll be reading that out loud together. Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. Amen. And that is the risen Savior that we worship today, who did not undergo decay in that tomb. And I'll ask you to turn with me now to our first hymn this morning, which will be number 231. Hymn number 231, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. 231, and I'll ask you to please rise as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Christ the Lord is risen today, Alleluia. sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye hymns and earth reply, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Dying once, he all doth save, Alleluia. Sir, thy victory o'er the grave, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise, Alleluia. Soar we now where Christ has led, Alleluia. Following our exalted head, Alleluia. Made like him, like him we rise, Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies, Alleluia.
Thank you very much for your singing. You may be seated. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so to share that Word with us this morning, I'll invite up Greg Coleman for our scripture reading today.
Good morning. Happy Easter. This morning for my scripture reading, I did try to pick out a little bit of an Easter-themed text, starting with the Old Testament, and then I'm going to go into the New. So if you'd like to join me in the book of Numbers, I'm going to be in Numbers chapter 21, and I'm going to read 4 through 9 there. And then after I do that, I'm just going to jump up to the book of John just real quick for a couple verses there. Starting in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 through 9. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route of the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." And just a little bit of information, that miserable food is the manna that God has been providing for them daily. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And I just want to make a quick point. Just because of the Israelites' impatience, They rejected God's provision. They rejected God's grace. They rejected God's servant, who in the Old Testament in this context is Moses. And they also rejected God just because of a little bit of impatience. It shows you how lucky we are to have a Savior, because we're no different. And I want to jump up to John chapter 3. And this addresses those verses just a little bit. John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And then if you just want to turn the page to John chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.
Thank you, Greg. That is a perfect reminder for Easter Sunday that none of us have the ability to perfectly love God and trust him in all things. And yet, God in his love for us, while we were still sinners, while we still did not trust him and love him as we ought to, sent Christ to die for us. Wonderful, wonderful reminder this morning. Thank you again. Scripture tells us that the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. That's a little tough to hear sometimes, because we all know ourselves not to be righteous, at least not in our actions. We aren't perfect, not in our thoughts. We aren't perfect. And yet, because Christ has died and rose again to make us righteous, we get to come together in prayer this morning and approach that throne of grace. And so if there are any prayers that you'd like to add this morning, please let me know. Okay. That'd be great. Oh, for sure. That's hard on a body, but yeah, definitely. And that's tomorrow, you said? Yeah, okay. Well, we'll certainly be praying for Scott, and that doesn't hit him too hard, and he can enjoy family afterwards. Thank you. Praise God indeed. She's found herself a good man. I'll be praising God for Henry's engagement. Wow. Fantastic. Great. Twelve puppies. Wow. I hear that having twins is bad enough. Not that I would know, but... Amen. God is good. We'll give him all the praise for that. Thank you. All righty. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you for this opportunity to remember that you, God the Son, rose a victor over the grave. And on that cross, you defeated sin, and in your resurrection, you defeated death. And you did it all for us, so that we would share in that same inheritance. Lord God, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship, to hear your word, and to praise your holy name. Lord God, we thank you for the work that Christ has done on that cross to restore us to you. We thank you for this opportunity to pray together as a church family. And so, Lord, we bring these prayers to you. We think of Scott Allen and his struggles with cancer. We pray that you would heal him and that these doctors would be wise in administering these treatments to him. We especially pray for tomorrow's treatment, that not only would be beneficial and fruitful, but that he would be strong through it and after it, that he would be healthy and well enough to enjoy time with family after this treatment. Lord, we praise your name for the gift of love, especially that now that Henry is engaged, we pray for an ever-increasing strengthening of the love between those two, and that you would be at the center of their relationship, that your cross would be the example of love and forgiveness that is necessary in such a relationship. We thank you for the wedding that's coming up, and we pray that that would be smooth too, and that the stress of planning would be minimal. Lord, we give you praise for new life, even if when it's life for animals. Lord, we praise your name for these 12 new puppies in the world, and pray that you would keep them strong and safe and healthy. Lord, we also give you praise for Siskin and her family's trip to Wisconsin, that it was safe, that they didn't see danger along the way, and that they're back here again worshiping with us today. Lord, we give you praise too for Jamie and her family and everything they've been through lately. We thank you that the test came back benign on her. Thank you for keeping her safe and healthy through that. We thank you for getting this house sold when they needed it to be, and for making it possible for them to have a new place. And Lord, we thank you for paving the way to a new job for her as well. Our God, we want to remember the Hoshes, and we pray that you would pave their way to getting to Taiwan the way they need to. Lord, we know that paperwork and politics get in the way, but we also know that you can work through and against all of that. Lord, we do want to continue to pray for Tina as well and her healing. We thank you for the wonderful work you've done in her so far, and just pray that you continue to heal her and make her whole again. Likewise, we pray for Doris and the healing that she needs. We pray that she would be strengthened and that any residual pain would be gone. Lord, too, we pray for Rita and her battles with cancer. Lord, we pray that you would make her well enough to resume the treatments that she needs. And Lord God, we pray that you be with her family as they care for her and minister to her during this difficult time. Lord, too, we pray for Charles and his battles with cancer. We pray that he'll have more good days than bad days, and that, again, we pray for his family as they care for him and minister to him, too. Lord, we pray for Erin and her ongoing battles with her health. We pray that you would strengthen her and make her well and whole again. Lord, we pray for Arlo as he's recently taken a fall. We pray that that he would be healed up quick and that he would continue to just be such a great light and a great example of what it means to be a man who loves you and who loves your people. Lord, we pray for this church, that all of us too would be a light in the world, shining the light of your gospel to all of those who need to hear it most. Lord, we pray for the salvation of our neighbors, of our friends, our family. Pray for the salvation of even our enemies. And Lord, we pray that however we can be a part of that, whatever role you would have us play in bringing your word to the world, that you would help us to see and give us the strength and the courage to do exactly that. Lord, we pray for all those who are not with us today. We pray for those we have not yet prayed for. And we pray for those prayers that are on our hearts that we have not put to words. Lord, we bring all these prayers to you again, thanking you for hearing each and every one of them and answering them all according to your perfect will. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, with some special music for Easter, it's my privilege to invite up Candy Polly for special music this morning.
Is beating
Thank you, Candy, so much for sharing with us. Well, I'll ask you to turn with me now to our next hymn this morning, hymn number 232. Hymn number 232, which is Christ Arose. And again, I'll ask you to please rise as you're able, and we'll sing this hymn together. Seated. First Chronicles 29:17 says this, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. Let us now worship God with the giving of our willing offerings. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, you've shown us in your scripture that you are the giver of all good gifts, and you have given to us in abundance. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to give back what is already yours. And we pray that we would use these gifts according to the way that you would have them used. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of the Lord gives and sustains new life in Him. Our scripture reading from the epistles comes today from Colossians, book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. A very short reading, but very powerful and appropriate for the day. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Such a beautiful promise. You know, Scripture often ties Christ's death and resurrection to our own death to sin and resurrection to new life. And so we now have a life lived in Him and for Him. Our very lives hidden in Him and protected from the world. Beautiful promise. I'll invite you to turn with me now to our next hymn this morning, which will be hymn number 238. Hymn number 238, which is Because He Lives. I'll invite you to please rise again as we sing this hymn together.
Sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the come assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Please remain standing and turn with me, if you have your Bibles handy, to our text for today, which is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Matthew 28, 1 through 10. I'll give you a moment to find that. This is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, reading in Jesus' name. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Christ the Lord is risen today. Now, of course, he's not risen just today. Right? He's been risen and remains risen since the glorious day that we just read about. He's alive right now and forever, continually interceding for us, the scriptures say, before the Father. His perfect sacrifice on Good Friday's cross, continually making full atonement for all our sins. What a glorious remembrance Easter is. But where do I start with this sermon? There are so many wonderful things to be said about our Lord's resurrection. Where do I start? We got him as our eternal high priest. Him as the conqueror of death. Him as our ever-present help in time of need. Him whose resurrection brings us justification before God. But if I'm going to get you back home in time to eat your Easter dinners, I got to pick one of them. You know, I can't talk about it all. I've got to pick one thing and dwell on that. And so for that, we're going to focus on our text for today, particularly something that is said twice in just these 10 verses. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid is spoken by both the angel here and by the risen Christ. And these ladies are told to not be afraid because the truth of our risen Christ removes all fear. Fear in life, fear in death, fear of judgment, all removed. Now, Matthew's account here focuses on the ladies who are going to the tomb of Jesus to treat the body. And they were already in a world of hurt emotionally. You know, their beloved teacher had been scourged, brutally beaten, crucified, killed in the worst way humanity has ever invented. Jesus died on Friday afternoon at about 3 o'clock. And that meant that they only had a few short hours to get Jesus down from the cross, secure a grave for him, secure a tomb for him, thanks to Joseph, and deliver his body to that tomb. The ladies didn't have the time to properly and reverently prepare the body before the Sabbath started at sundown. And so that explains their hurry to get to the grave first thing in the morning. Once the Sabbath was over and morning is dawning, even before the sun rises, they're off to get back to work. Because all work had to stop Friday evening. That's the law of the Sabbath. And so before that sun is even up, they start out toward that tomb to finish their work. You see, this man that they loved so dearly, it was just killing them that to know that the body had been sitting in that tomb, being ravaged by the heat of the previous day, and the burial spices and the oils and everything that they had yet to do was still not done. They couldn't wait to finish their work and treat the body with the love and the respect that they had for their beloved teacher. And this is when the first do not be afraid, appears. And rightfully so. These ladies, they've got an angel standing before them. Now understand that angels are terrifying beings. You got to get that down first. Forget the cutesy-wootsy, pudgy-faced angels that Precious Moments mass produces. Those aren't angels. Forget the ruggedly handsome or the devastatingly beautiful angels you get from Hallmark. Those aren't angels. Angels are always terrifying to behold. I mean, just look at the guards here, right? They are quite literally petrified with fear. They had fallen down like dead men. They were so afraid. Or in other words, they fainted. Now, that's kind of fun right there. You got two macho, manly Roman guards right there, fainting like a 1940s movie actress. And all the while, these two Marys remain upright long enough for the angel to say, "Don't be afraid," right? Now, were these ladies not to fear because the angel wasn't all that scary after all? No. He didn't change his appearance. He still looked the same as he did when the two guards fell over. The ladies were not to fear because the angel was about to announce something that would remove all their fear. "You are looking for Jesus," he says, "who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was lying." The angel brings to mind of these ladies the promises that Jesus had already spoken about rising again from the dead. And they encourage these ladies to come, "Look for yourselves. The tomb is empty. He is not here." Their beloved teacher, their promised Messiah, the one they thought was dead and gone, who they expected to be lying there decaying in the tomb, he was alive. And he was going to meet them in Galilee just as he promised he would. Because of this, they are not to fear. And of course, those same words are repeated again as the risen Lord himself blesses them with his presence, alive and well, and able to have these women fall down at his feet and grab a hold of him. See, the truth of the risen Messiah dispels all fear. Not just for these ladies, also for the disciples that these ladies were commissioned to go tell this news to, and for all whose faith is placed in this, our risen Lord. Unfortunately, it didn't dispel the fear of the two rough and tumble sleeping beauties on the floor. But we can presume those guards didn't have the faith that these ladies did. But for all of you who believe, the call is for you not to fear. No fear in life. No fear in death. No fear of judgment. Let's start with that no fear in life bit. So when these ladies stood before the angel, they were afraid. The thing that makes angels so frightening is that when they appear, they are surrounded by the glory of Almighty God. And the glory of Almighty God is a terrible thing for sinful creatures such as ourselves. The glory of God shows us His holiness. And it's a holiness that makes all of our feeble attempts to do good things look like filthy rags in comparison. The glory of God communicates to us that we are a sinful and broken creature that rightly falls under His righteous judgment. But the ladies were not to fear. And neither are you. In Christ's resurrection, He had completed His work on the cross where every last sin of yours was paid for by His blood. And what that means is if you believe that simple fact to be true, then you, now, right now, stand before God as a new creation, holy and blameless as Christ Himself was. Because Christ became your sin on that cross, and doing so took every last bit of God's judgment on Himself. You now live a life free of the fear of God's wrath, fear of His judgment, because His wrath and judgment has been satisfied in your risen Christ. There is none left for you. No judgment, no wrath left for you. And you are truly free. That means that in the life that you have now, as Paul says, you are free from the law. That law that demands perfect righteousness out of all of us. You are free from the sin that God's perfect law accuses you of. Free from the guilty verdict that God's law pronounces on you. You now live a life of freedom instead of fear. You no longer cower in fear of God's hand just waiting to strike you down for some wrong that you might do. But you are freed from that law and now live a life that is free to follow Christ. And what's more, as you live out this life, you live and move in a world that is frightening. A lot of fearful stuff out there. Scripture tells us that the world is yet under the rule of Satan. And that means there's plenty of evils out there to be afraid of. But not for you. By faith, you are a child of God. And you are under His perfect care. Nothing's going to come upon you that hasn't first passed through God's hands. And everything that afflicts you in this life, everything that happens to you, is either for your good or for His glory, or more rightly, both. And it gets even better yet. Your Lord, having defeated Satan on that cross, and defeated Satan's will in His resurrection, has rescued you from the grip of Satan in this life. You no longer serve Satan as master, but you have a new Lord. Satan and all his minions and all his scheming and all the evils he has placed in this world have already been triumphed over by Christ on the cross, by that spotless Lamb. There is nothing to fear in this world any longer. And as much as Satan may try to attack you, deceive you, or capture you, you know the Lord is more powerful than Satan ever could be. And his truth, his word, his mighty right hand protects you from all the slings and arrows of the evil one. The accuser, the one who would throw all your sins back in your face, trying to convince you that you are not saved by the blood of Christ. That accuser is now powerless to bring you in despair, because you have the perfect answer for him. I am saved by the suffering and death of God's own Son, and he now lives to argue his perfect righteousness before the throne on my behalf. It reminds me of a great quote from Luther that I came across a couple weeks ago. I just love the way Luther puts things sometimes. He says this. He says, when Satan tells me I'm a sinner, he comforts me immeasurably, since Christ died for sinners. Isn't that great? That is the lack of fear and the full confidence we have in our risen Lord. And that naturally moves into the fact that we are not to fear in death. Quite possibly the greatest fear we have about encountering death is what is unknown about it. Will it hurt? What's on the other side? Or is there another side? What will happen to my loved ones? Am I destined for heaven or hell? How do I really know which it's going to be? On and on it goes. Scary stuff. But in the resurrection of Christ, all of this becomes clear. It becomes reality that death isn't the end at all. But we all can be raised up from the dead just as he was. Raised up with a perfect, a glorified body that is just like Christ's. Sinless. No longer affected by the death and decay of the world. His resurrection tells us for one who is holy and righteous, death cannot hold you. Now you might be looking at yourself and saying, well, I'm sunk. I'm not holy and righteous. Did you see what I did last week? But what we have, what we've just been talking about, all condemnation, all judgment, all the guilt of sin is removed from you at the cross. If you simply believe that to be true, then you go to your grave having been accounted to be just as holy and righteous as Christ is. And that means that for you, death cannot hold you either. By faith, in the hour of your death, you receive the same promise of the one thief hanging beside Jesus. This day, you will see me in paradise. See, for you, the only thing you lose at death is your sinful flesh. That flesh that has troubled you long enough, fighting against the spirit that Christ has given you. And you lose that flesh with the promise that you will be given a new flesh, a glorified flesh that will live forever. One that will no longer be subject to pain or weakness, and that will exist to glorify God forever. And finally, you have no fear of judgment. See, Scripture is clear that on Christ's return, there will be judgment. Whether you're still alive at the time of his return or whether you're already dead, you will be judged. And that's cause for fear too, isn't it? Especially when we know that it's going to be God who's doing the judging. There are no legal maneuvers that you can pull off that will trick God into judging in your favor. There's no hiding your sin from the one who knows everything about you. That's terrifying to think about. But not for you. Because of our risen Lord, there is no fear of judgment. We've already talked about this, but what is true in life is all the more true in eternity. Because Christ took every last punishment you deserve for your sins, there is no judgment left for you. As you stand in the day of judgment, you stand with Christ at your side. And it's as if he's standing there saying that you had never committed any of the sins you're accused of. That instead he himself is guilty of them all and has received the just punishment for them all. Christ stands with you in judgment like a lawyer who has pledged to allow himself to be sentenced to your death penalty so that you can go free. By faith, you will own his perfect righteousness, and it will be your own as you stand in that day of judgment. So that the only verdict that will be handed down to you will be not guilty. Not guilty. No fear in life. No fear in death. No fear of judgment. This is yours because of your crucified and risen Lord, Jesus Christ. In a few short moments, you'll have the opportunity to receive the very body and blood of our risen Lord, receiving once again the perfect atonement and forgiveness that he has bought for you. Praise be to God for dispelling fear and bringing freedom, for dispelling fear and bringing hope, for dispelling fear and bringing us a blessed eternity in his kingdom. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, words seem inadequate to express the gift you have given us in your death and resurrection. But we cannot stay silent. Lord God, we praise you this day for being the one who gave everything for us. Lord God, we bring our sin, we bring our condemnation to you, and allow you to pay for it all, to take it all on yourself. And we thank you for rising again to show us that you've conquered death once and for all. Our God, we pray that we would continually live through this life with your cross in front of our eyes, never losing sight of it, but clinging to it with everything we've got. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me to our last hymn this morning, hymn number 230. Hymn number 230 is The Day of Resurrection. I'll invite you to again, please rise as you're able as we sing hymn 230 together.
Earth, tell it out abroad, the past. Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from this world to the sky, our Christ has brought us o'er with hymns of victory. Our hearts be pure from evil, that we may see aright the Lord in rays eternal of resurrection light. And listening to his accents, may hear so calm and plain his own all hail and hearing, may raise the victor strain. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth her song begin, the world resound in triumph, and all there is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes of gladness blend, for Christ is risen, our joy that has no end.
Please remain standing as we begin the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord graciously invites us to this table in words such as Matthew 11:28, where we read, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And also from John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And now let us confess together our faith as it is expressed in the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the front of your hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:28 encourages us to examine ourselves before partaking of the body and the blood of Christ. So in the Spirit, let us now take time to confess our sins and receive the absolution that is promised in Scripture. Again, this can be found in the front of your hymnals. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life, for whenever eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now let us pray together the prayer that our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Well, it's our tradition that at this time we set aside a few moments to share with each other any ways that you'd like to glorify God and give him praise for the way he's worked in your life or in the lives of those around you. So I'll give you a moment to think about that. Yeah, he is good, he is risen, and he is Lord, whether it's a good day or a low day, for sure. Yeah. Sure is. Yeah. I'll join you in that prayer for sure. Thank you. I figured there were probably lots of Easter turkeys and Easter hams and Easter mashed potatoes and that everybody's looking forward to get back to. So I didn't think we'd have a whole lot of takers today. I'll give you a moment longer anyway. Praise be to God. And we're thankful to him, too, that you're here. Praise God. Well, it looks like no other takers. So at this time, I'll ask you to please rise again. Now receive this benediction. May the grace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.